Hebrews chapter 11. Find your place. Hebrews chapter 11. And of course, we're dismissing just the folks that work on the actual bus routes. We have men that take care of the maintenance of the buses. We have, of course, Sunday school teachers, helpers, workers, junior church preachers and helpers and workers, and on and on and on it goes. But these are the folks that actually work on the buses, and they're headed out that way. All right, if I could have, Brother Brian, if you could shut that door behind you there, brother, I'd appreciate that. Brother Tarks, there we go. Yeah, just close that door. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. We're going to read verses 13, 14, and 15 as our text tonight, and jump into something here that I hope will be a help to you. Hebrews 13, would you please join me on verse 14? And our Bible says, now we're picking up the story here in the part of Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham and Sarah and so forth and so on. So we're picking up the story here. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I want you to draw your attention to verse number 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject staying out of the old country. Staying out of the old country. Dear Father, help me tonight. I pray that you'll give the bus workers and personnel a good time over in the gymnasium. Bless their meeting. Bless Brother Caleb as he directs it. Help me here. Give us, Lord, your mind for a few moments tonight as we look at these verses. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord. I pray that you'll protect us from returning to the old country. Keep us in the new land that you've given us, Lord, when you saved us. We love you. I love these people. I want to be a help and a blessing to them tonight. Make your word now such, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open here. There's something special in my mind about the courage and the spirit and the zeal of pioneers. When I think of pioneers, I think of people in America, you know, the well-known pioneers, the Lewis and Clarks and all that, and the Daniel Boones and all those folks that are well-known. But when I think of pioneers, that's a minute representation of how many hundreds, if not thousands of people, our forefathers in this country, who moved from east to west as the country began to open. I think of people in America who left the settled, somewhat stable, and basically predictable way of life on the East Coast that had been settled for some years. And then, they instead opted for the rugged, adventurous life of those who headed west. I don't know if you've ever done this, but sometimes I try to picture in my mind what this country must have looked like before there were roads and power lines and telephone lines and civilization, before society move this way with its streets and cities and so forth and its artificial light. And I have to wonder, it must have been incredible. Can you imagine coming to the Mississippi River, the banks of the Mississippi, and looking across that thing? Can you imagine what it must have looked like to look over the vast prairie lands and the herds of buffalo? And I mean, you know, isn't there something in you that would like to have been a little bit a part of that? I mean, I think that's why I enjoy, and you know, some people say, absolutely not. Give me my padded cushions at home, you know, and my running water and all that stuff, and I'm happy. And we all enjoy that. But I think that's why I enjoy going to Canada every now and again for one of those bear hunts. I don't know if I'll ever go again with kids on the mission field. Everything else kind of pales in comparison, you know. But one thing I liked about being in Canada was it was still somewhat pristine, still somewhat virgin territory. Now the loggers were there, and loggers had been there, but some places where we went, that was the only roads that were there, just logging roads. And it was really, really virgin territory. I mean, it really was, and I think that's one reason that entices me. That kind of pioneering spirit. I'm not sure I would have been man enough or tough enough to handle it. Those guys had to be tough. I mean, you think about it. Those people, those ladies had to be tough. And I mean to tell you now, And you read some of the stories, it's incredible, you know, and all the things that you read. Even the things you read about Laura Ingalls Wilder's memories, you know, from her family. And that one winter, what was that book called? The Blue Winter, I think it was. And my goodness, how they had the cold came. Kind of like 2008, amen, you know, and they got to make heat and everything. It's incredible. But the pioneers. Now, Abraham and Sarah. Their son Isaac and his son Jacob. All of those folks were all in a sense pioneers. They were in a sense pioneers. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 tells us, that Abraham was called to go out. You see that in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an, which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and he went out. Not knowing whither he went. That's that pioneer spirit. That's what some of these folks did when they headed from east to west across this vast country. They just knew that they heard of land that was out there undeveloped. I'm reading a book right now. It's 1,200 pages called Sacred Fire on the life of George Washington. It's an interesting book. And it talked about how that George Washington and some of his fellow soldiers had gone far west to check out land that had been given to them because of their service in the Continental Army back during the Revolutionary War and so forth and so on. And they went to Western Virginia. And that was as far west as they were going. And it was in the rugged terrain of Western Virginia. Now, can you imagine going any further than that? I mean, it's what Abraham and Sarah did. And later on their son Isaac and later on his son Jacob. They were called to go out. So they were, in a sense, pioneers. God came and said, leave your father, leave your kinfolk, leave your country, and in return, I'm going to make you several promises. And God made Abraham several promises. God said, I'm going to bless you with a physical seed. That physical seed became the nation of Israel. He said, I'm going to bless you with a physical seed. And by the way, God said, and that nation, those who bless that nation, I will bless. And those who curse that nation, I will curse. Now that scares me about Obama. I don't know what he is. But if he's not friendly to Israel, if Hillary's not friendly to Israel, we're in for some rough days. And folks, I'm a little concerned about the attitude. Well, I don't like John McCain. I'm not going to vote at all. I'm a little concerned about that attitude. We can't hand them the White House. Okay? There needs to be some type of statement by you and me, just the responsibility as an American citizen to go to the polls and vote and do right. I don't think it's the first time in history when the choices have been kind of bleak. You know, we can go back and look sometimes, and the choices may not have been as good as may not have been any better than they are now. But, you know, basically that's what God said. God said, I'm going to give you a physical seed, the nation of Israel, and I'm going to bless those that bless the nation, and I'll curse those that curse the nation. One of the reasons I believe America has seen blessing is because we've cared and been a blessing to the nation of Israel. Then God said, I'm going to bless you with a spiritual seed. And through your spiritual seed, all families, all peoples, all nations, all tongues of the earth shall be blessed. And you know who that was? That was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no human on earth alone who can be a blessing to all families, all peoples, all nations, all tongues, all kindreds. Only Jesus Christ can do that and has done that. And God made that promise to Abraham, Jesus Christ. And then he said, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you not only a nation, but I'm going to give you a land of your own. It's going to be the land of Israel. So God made all these promises to Abraham. He said, now I want you to leave. I want you to leave home. I want you to leave father. I want you to leave kindred. I want you to leave it all. And I'm going to give you these promises. And God made those promises and others to Abraham. And from him, they passed down to Isaac. And then from Isaac, they passed down to Jacob. Now look at verse number 13. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abraham and Sarah died, Jacob died, Isaac died. Before the nation of Israel, they were not settled in the promised land until several years after their deaths. They were not settled in the promised land. These people were in Egypt for 430 years, folks. After Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's death. They were in Egypt 430 years. Then they had to travel through the wilderness 40 years. And finally they settled the land of Canaan. So these folks are dead for at least 470 plus years before the land of Israel is set, the nation of Israel is settled in the land of Canaan, their land. All right. Jesus would not come for a couple thousand years after their death. This spiritual seed that had been promised, who would be a blessing to all kindreds, nations, everything, he would not come for a couple thousand years. They never realized those promises, but they left the old country and were nomads. They were pilgrims. They were strangers. They knew the promises were afar off. But they were convinced of the promises' reality. And the Bible says they embraced them in verse number 13. They embraced them and were persuaded of them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they embraced them. They didn't get the reality of it, but they embraced them and they said, you know what, we understand. These are promises that won't be fulfilled for years and years. They put the old country behind them in pursuit of what God had promised. And just as importantly as putting it behind them, they kept it behind them. They didn't return. They didn't go back to the earth of Chaldea. They didn't go back to family. They didn't go back to the old country. They didn't go back to the old way of life. Just as importantly, as important as it was for them to leave in pursuit of a promise, it was just as important that they not return. They not only put the old country behind them, they kept the old country behind them. And then the writer said this in verse number 15, and truly, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had been mindful, the writer said, truly, no doubt about it, truly, if they had been mindful, if they had put their minds on the old country, if they had put their minds on the houses, if they had put their minds on the people, if they had put their minds on the land, if they had put their minds on the food, if they had put their minds on the culture, if they had put their minds on the friends, if they had let the old country permeate their thinking, they would have gone back. That's what he said. If they had put their minds on it, if they'd been mindful of it, they would have gone back. They would have had opportunity to have returned. Now here, let me make the application tonight. When God saved us, He brought us out of a life that was without Him and into a life filled with Himself. Now look, I don't care if you were reared in church or what. It doesn't matter. If you're unsaved, you are without God. According to the Bible, people who are unsaved are without Christ, they're without God, they're without strength, and they are without hope. When we were unsaved, we were immersed in a life that was without God. Then God saves us. And He brings us into a life permeated with Himself. God brought us out of a life that was without Him into a life with Him, with His promises. And we may not realize all the promises in our life on earth, but we can be persuaded of them and we can embrace them and we can live this life with God. Now, folks, the truth of the matter is we face the same problem that the pioneers faced in the book of Genesis. And that's this. If we are mindful of the old country, we will have opportunity to return. There was a man by the name of Cortez who helped found either part of South America or Mexico, someplace down in that part of the world. And he sailed from Spain on his ships. He got the government to fund the whole thing. And they put people on those ships. I forget how many people he brought with them, with the promise of gold and a new land and a new opportunity and new discoveries. And then all these men jumped on these ships with all kinds of dreams of coming home someday rich and wealthy and back to Spain and so forth. And they made that journey from Spain down to I forget the country where they landed. I should have looked it up. It comes to my mind now. But it was somewhere in that part of the world, South America, Central America. And they landed down there and they got off the ships. And the first thing that general, that whatever, his general commander, whatever, first thing Cortez did when they got off the ships, he burned them. Now, do you understand what kind of motivation that was for those people? It was survive or die. That's a good mentality. That was a good thing to do. He had to make it there. If they had always known that they could have gotten on the ship and gone back home, when it got tough, when it got difficult, when things got just, I mean, unbearable, they always knew, they would have known that they could have jumped on the ship and gone back home. And I'm going to tell you what, in the same way, when we get saved, we come out of that life that is without God into a life immersed with God. If we are not careful, if we don't burn our bridges, if we don't be careful that we don't become mindful of the old country, we will have opportunity to return. I understand maybe this is more applicable to people who were saved later on in life, like myself at age 18. Maybe you were saved at age 20. You were saved out of something, out of habits and problems and difficulties and things that you're ashamed of. Maybe it's a little bit more applicable to that person tonight than kids who grew up in church. I understand that. But the honest truth of the matter is, friend, we face the same problem. If we allow ourselves to become mindful of the old country, we will have opportunity to have return. The old country is the old life. The old life without God. The old life without Christ. The old life without strength. The old life without hope. Why would we want to return to that? But this is what happens to some people. Sometimes they get saved. They pioneer into a new life with God, and then some years later you find them back into the old life. Now sometimes it's the result of not really being saved. And I will tell you something. One of the most difficult things in all the world to do is live the Christian life without being a Christian. That's difficult. It's impossible. And I will tell you something. For those of us who have children growing up from the time that they are little toddlers in Sunday school, we have to be very, very careful of this. They learn everything. They hear everything. They know all the responses. They know all the answers to all the questions. They know all the doctrines. They're told everything about it, but better get down in here. And when you got a young person who just doesn't like the Christian way of life, it might well be they're not saved. It's just very hard to enjoy Christianity if you're not a Christian. I know. Because I wasn't saved all those years. I was drugged to church and put in this and put in that. But it was a horrible thing and I never did enjoy it. Never did. It's impossible to live the Christian life without being a Christian. You can't enjoy it. You might go through the motions, but you can't put your heart in it and enjoy it. And sometimes that's what happens. They're not saved, and they end up in the old country. But oftentimes, it's the result of becoming mindful of the old country. You come out of the old country, a life without God, a life without Christ, a life without Bible, a life without church. You get immersed into a new life with God, with Christ, with His Word, with church, with saved people. But if you're not careful, if you allow yourself to become mindful of the old country, you will have opportunity to return. By the way, this is what happened to the younger generation of Israelites years after Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were gone. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Turn back there in your Bible. Let me show you just a couple, three verses in this chapter. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number... Oh, we'll just start the first... We'll just go four or five verses into the chapter here. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now they're in their wilderness journey, okay? They've gotten out of the land of Egypt now. They're headed toward Canaan's land. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord heard it. His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. He called them in place. Look at verse number 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now look at what they said in verse number 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. Egypt's the old country. Egypt's where they were in bondage. Egypt's where they were slaves. Egypt is where they were whipped and punished and had to make the brick. And then they had to go get the material to make the brick. They were in bondage there for all, not all of those years, but for many of those years. And they said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers in Egypt, and the melons of Egypt, and the leeks of Egypt, and the onions of Egypt, and the garlic of Egypt. Now look, they are headed to a land that is going to flow with milk and honey. Flow with it. And they got their minds on things that were going on in Egypt. And before you know it, they're wanting to return there. Moses, we're in this wilderness. We're in this, sometimes there's no water. Sometimes there's no meat. All we have to eat is this manna falls from heaven. God, you give it to us, but man, there's nothing here. And what a man. They got their minds on those sumptuous spreads of Egypt, the fish and the garlic and the cucumber and the leeks and so forth, the melons and all of that. And they said, man, they got mindful of the old country. And I want to tell you something, friend. Were it not for a strong leader like Moses, they would have gone back and been in that old country. And that's hard for me to believe. Why would you want to return to the land of bondage? Why would you want to return to the land of slavery? Why would you want to do that? God gave you, He birthed you out of that. He brought you out of that. Why would you ever want to go back to that life? And I'm going to ask, you know, I have to ask the same question. When God saves us and brings us out of a life that is without Him, without His Son Jesus, without His Word, without His people, without His church, and births us into a life with Him, why in the world would we ever want to go back to that old country? But it happens. It happens. It happens to God's people. It's happened to some folks in this church who used to sit in these pews. Over these 17 and a half years, they come out of a life without God, without Christ, without the Bible, without church. They get immersed into the middle of it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't cut the ropes and burn the bridges with some of the old country, you stand a great chance to go back. A great chance to go back. Now, let me say a couple things tonight. Number one, do not allow things in your life that remind you of the old country. Don't allow things in your life that remind you of the old country. See, folks, the mind is the destination for all things that come in the ear gate and for all things that come in the eye gate. The mind is the destination for all things that come in the ear gate and all things that come in the eye gate. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at the man Lot here for just a minute. This is an incredible passage here about the man Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7. This is what happened to Lot down in the Sodom and Gomorrah, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was a saved man. The Bible calls him just. The Bible says he has a righteous soul. Look at verse number 7 of 2 Peter chapter 2. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, he's saved man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot vexed his soul through seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. He didn't have to participate in the deeds. All he had to do was be exposed to those things. He had to see them. He had to hear them. And the more he saw and the more he heard, the more it lodged in his mind, the more it lodged in his heart. And the Bible so says that he ended up with a vexed soul. The word vexed means to labor down, to oppress, to shove down. That's what the word vexed means. How did he vex his soul? By seeing and hearing. Because these are the gates to the mind. And what goes in these gates goes to the mind. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you don't have to participate in the actual sin of the world. If you just allow your day, if you allow your week, if you allow your month, if you allow your life to be permeated with reminders of the old country, you will find yourself thinking about the old places and the old times and the old people and the old occasions. And pretty soon you're going to find yourself wanting to go back there. It all starts with you. If you came out of a life full of rock and roll, the safest thing you can do for yourself is get rid of it. Completely. I'm talking about the Christian rock. Don't have Christian music that reminds you of the music of the old world. You see, folks, this is like Mike Ray said the other morning, and I've said that before. If you ask me Brother Angel, is rock music wrong? Sure, it's wrong. Sin. Brother Angel, do you like it? Yep. I like it. I still have a problem with Sweet Home Alabama. Still have that. I hear those guitars and I gotta go. I gotta get out of Walmart, gotta get out of the store, gotta get out of wherever I am. I hear that music. People have it on their cell phone. If I could find a way to get it on my cell phone, I'd be a decent pastor, a decent Christian, I might do that, but I can't do that. My flesh likes it. My flesh likes the beat. My flesh likes the syncopation. My flesh likes all that stuff. I love it. My flesh does. But it's not a part of my life with God. It's not a part of my life with Christ. It doesn't please Him. The disorder in the music, the lingos, the rhythm, the words, the spirit behind it does not please God. In my life with God, it doesn't fit. Now, if I want to stay out of that part of the old country, if I want to stay out of the old country, I better keep that out of my life as much as I possibly can. I better not expose my ears to it. I better not expose my mind to it. I better not get my mind on it. Brother, I want to tell you something. You know what happens? You get in the store, and you hear a song, and it's like pushing a play button on a CD. Or better yet, worse yet, like pushing a button on a DVD. And you begin to remember events and things that happen and people and sights and sounds and circumstances and places, and they begin to roll around in your mind. And if you don't ask the Holy Spirit of God to get control of that, put it out, start putting your mind on some good songs like we sang tonight. There's a beauty, holy and beautiful city, and have Christian music playing in your car and Christian music playing in your home and Christian music running through your mind. Keep that old country music out. If you allow that to come into the ear gate, you could have a chance to return to the old country someday. That could be the hook that reels you back in. I'm dead serious about it. I'm just as serious about country and western too. It has that much power. When you come out of that old country, you can't be mindful of the old country or you're going to go back in. And listen, if you're a new Christian or newer to our church and you're trying, and by the way, you can't just throw the rock music out. You can't just throw the old country and western twangy old stuff talking about somebody else's wife and meeting up with her in the tavern. Let me tell you, folks, that's not going to help you live for God. That has no part in your life with Christ. That has no part. I mean, much less rap. Filthy stuff. Filthy. It ought to have no place in your life with Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. You get that stuff going in your mind. If you're trying to get rid of that, if you're throwing out old tapes, you're throwing out old CDs, you're trying to change your music. I'm going to tell you, we've got a whole closet, and I know they're getting out of style. They're getting out of date. Cassette tapes are going the way of the old 8-tracks. They're not going to be around after a while. A lot of cars nowadays don't even have an 8-track, a cassette player. They don't have 8-tracks for sure, unless you've got an old restored model. They don't even have cassette. But we have a whole closet full of good gospel Christian music, the right kind of music from Faith Music Mission. I'll give you as many as you want. You'll do us a favor by taking them. And I'll give them to you free. And I'm serious about that. All you got to do is tell one of the ladies in the office, I'd like some of those music tapes. You can have them. Put them in your car, find a cassette player, find your little Walkman with a cassette player, put them in your home, and let that music permeate your home, and get rid of the music from the old country. If you get mindful of the old country through the old country music, you may have a chance, you may have the opportunity to return. You gotta be careful about that. Did you come out of a life of uncontrolled television? Did you come out of that kind of old country? Get a grip on it. Get rid of it. Get rid of cable. Get it out. If it puts you in the mindset of the old life, get rid of it. If that's part of what you came out of and it's in your home and it puts you in the mind of the old country, then you better get it out of your life. If you came out of a life in the old country with romance novels and other books that are not good for you, not Christian, not spiritual, get rid of them. Don't put them away in the attic in a box, because one day when you're weak in the flesh, you'll go pull them out. I tried to do that with my rock music when I first got saved. I actually asked the family. I said, look, if you would, get rid of that rock music. And they put it away, but they didn't take time to get rid of it. And in those 10 days that I came home after being saved for 2 months in that debacle I got into with Roy Wood and Dave Scruggs. I ended up pulling a couple of those record albums out of the closet. Don't put them away somewhere. Burn them. Throw them out. Take them to the trash dump. Get them out of your house. Get them out of your closet. Get them out of your attic. It's the old country. If you get into that stuff, you're going to become mindful of the old country. And you may have an opportunity to return. Did you come out of a group of old friends? And what you did with them, and what you drank with them, and where you went with them, all of it was without God, without Christ, without the Bible. If you keep, I'm not against trying to win that crowd to the Lord, but I want to tell you something. If you keep intimate ties with those folks, and it starts permeating your mind and running through your mind, and you get mindful of the old country, you could end up back there. That could be just the bait on the end of the line that Satan uses to reel you in. Surround yourself with new friends. Surround yourself with godly, Christ-honoring friends. You know, that's one of the things I am thankful. Because I was so messed up. I am thankful that I was saved in a place where I praise God to this day for the opportunity He gave me to go to a boys' home. Some young men have that opportunity and they won't take it. But I am so thankful that whatever God did in my heart made me accept my dad's offer to go to this home. Wait, my dad said, you got two choices. You can go to Bob Jones University or you can go to the boys' home. And I'll tell you, school didn't appeal to me. And I was 18, I could have left. You know what kept me there? The sovereignty of God. And then I got saved. And then I was in a protected environment for about 9 months after I got saved. And I am so thankful I was in that protected environment. I was so messed up. I needed time away from the old country. I needed time away from the old music, from the old crowd, from the old friends, from the old this, from the old that. I needed time away in a protected environment where I couldn't be mindful of the old country. We weren't reminded of the old country at all. There was no music that reminded us of the old country. There were no friends that reminded us of the old country. There was no entertainment that reminded us of the old country. There was nothing in that home for those 9 months. It was like a little seclusion, if you will. For 9 months. And I'm so thankful I had that opportunity. Because I have to wonder what would have happened if I'd have been thrown right back into the environment that I had been in. With all the music and all the friends and all the events and all the circumstances. I wonder if I would be standing behind a pulpit preaching the Word of God on March the 30th, 2008. And have God bless me like He has with a wife and children and people, kids on the mission field and kids in the full-time ministry and other kids who are doing okay in the Lord. I have to wonder if I'd have any of that if I hadn't had a little time away from the old country. Not everybody can go to a boys' home. And so you got to be disciplined. And get the music and the friends and the literature and all the stuff that reminds you of the old country, get it out of your life as much as you can. If they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. No doubt about it. I'm talking about staying out of the old country. You see people who end up back in the old country. You scratch your head and you think, man, how can you go from that to that overnight? Didn't happen overnight. It was up here a long time before it became public. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that every tragedy in human character is preceded by a slow process of wicked thinking. And when you see people end up back in the old country and you think, how in the world did that happen? How did they go from the church pew to the sports bar? How'd that happen? Man, just overnight. No, it didn't happen overnight, folks. It happened up here first. It happened through music. It happened through books. It happened through television. It happened through conversations. It happened through friends. It happened through relationships, all of which put people in the mindset of the old country. And when you get in the mindset of the old country, you get it on your mind, you might be headed back. I'm talking about staying out of the old country. Number two, and I'm done tonight. If you are mindful of the old country, you will have opportunity to return. And we'll tell you why. Satan is a master at giving people opportunities to return to the old country. He's a master. He's a master of it. Satan is not sovereign. There's no divine providence as far as Satan is concerned. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipotent. He can't be everywhere at one time like God can. I will tell you something. He's a powerful being. And I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. The drinker will have opportunities to go back to drinking. No doubt about it. Satan will make sure that you do. The doper will have opportunities to go back and smoke a joint. No doubt about it. The gambler will have opportunities to go back to gambling. The thief will have opportunities to steal because he's slick. I told the class this morning, he is not a boxer. Boxers have rules, regulations that they have to fight by. Satan is not even an ultimate fighting challenge fighter. Now that's fun stuff to watch. See them beat up on each other. And I mean, buddy, there's no holes barred. They get in that thing and it's all kinds of martial arts and wrestling and fighting and they beat each other. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's not good to watch all the time, but a little bit of it is kind of enjoyable once in a while. Just watch them pound each other. But you know what? They don't have anything to pick up. Satan is a street fighter, which is an ultimate fighter on the street with a brick or a stick. That's the kind of fighter he is. He'll pick up anything. He'll use anything. He'll do anything he can to trip up a child of God. And if you get your mind on the... By the way, Satan can't read your thoughts. Satan can't read my thoughts. He's not omniscient. But when you're flipping through the radio in the car and you linger on the rock station and you get mindful of the old country through that rock song, he can hear that. And when you sit and watch the beer commercial and start thinking about, man, I remember that time. And the suds are sliding down the side of the glass and you start thinking about that, he can see that beer commercial. And when you sit around with a romance novel and start reading all that junk and that trash that can't do anything good for you whatsoever, he sees that. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent like God is. But he is a very... When God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Satan knew about Job. And Satan knew there was a hedge about him. And Satan can see, and Satan can observe, and that's why it's not always good to speak your mind. It's not always good to say what's on your mind because he's listening. I'm so proud of my kids. You better be careful about that. He's listening. Be thankful for them. Be pleased with them. Be happy with them, but be careful. Satan is a dirty... He is a filthy street fighter who will use anything and everything against us that he can. And if he gets a hint, if he gets an idea that that our minds are on the old country through the music that we allow ourselves to listen to, through things we allow ourselves to see, through things we allow ourselves to hear, through things we allow ourselves to read, if he gets wind of the fact that we're thinking about the old country, you can bet your bottom dollar. He's going to make opportunity to return. He's going to make opportunity to return. He's going to put it out there. And if you're not careful, you go back to the old country. Don't allow your mind to reflect on that stuff. You'll be weaker in the moment of temptation if you have been dwelling on that kind of thing. If you've been thinking about the old country and here comes the moment of temptation, you're going to be weak. But if your mind has been guarded, if your mind has been dwelling on the Bible consistently, a short time of Bible reading, if you've been thinking on good things, if you've been thinking on holy things, if you've been thinking on who could I invite to come to my Sunday school class to help my Sunday school teacher, who could I bring to church, if you've been thinking about right things, if you've been listening to good music, if you've been around helpful friends and godly friends, when the opportunity comes to go back to the old country, you'll be stronger in the moment of temptation. than you will be if you've become. Hey, you ever been on a diet? Well, that gets all of us, doesn't it? Diet is nothing more than just self-control. People get on all these things, Atkins diet. Mike Ray's on the Atkins diet. That's where you eat all that meat, isn't it? Just eating meat, eat all that. That sounds fun, but boy, it might be good for losing weight, but what about your poor colon? I mean, I don't know. Mercy days. All eat a pound of bacon for breakfast and 14 pork chops for lunch. You don't eat any potatoes. You don't eat any carbohydrates. You just stay away from the bread, but you eat meat, 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 meat. And then the next diet comes along. And then the next diet comes along. And then the Hallelujah diet that was so popular for a while, all fruits and vegetables. And Brother Brown's into that. You know, Brother Brown is one of those guys. There's no moderation with Brother Brown. If he's into riding a bike now, he rides a bike. He rides a bike 100 miles a day sometimes. He'll go to visit the hospitals in Iowa City, 33 miles from Washington, on his bike. Rides his bike 33 miles and back. He rode from Elgin to Morris the other day and wanted to know how far it was to Bourbonnais. I'm going to see Brother Terry. He just goes. Rachel was telling us this last Sunday when Jerry and Rachel were at the house having lunch, and we were tickled, we were laughing, you know, not at him. It's just that's how he is. He just, and when he juices these carrots. He gets these great big bags of these organic carrots. His skin is yellow, orange. He glows. I juiced for a while, and I tell you what, I felt good. But you know, you can get on all these kind of things, but you know what diet is? Diet is nothing more than just self-control. Eat less, push away from the table, do a little exercise. You ever been on a diet and started thinking about a Whopper? Huh? Then you start tasting it. But no, that's not on the approved food list. No, sir. No, no, no. But man, you start thinking about that. Have it your way. Have it your way. And that patty and those onions and those tomatoes and maybe a slice of cheese. What is it now? 70 cents for a piece of cheese? I'm not going to eat a cheese whopper for that. Now you start tasting it. You can see that. You can feel the sesame seeds on the bun as you hold it. You know, you can feel it. You can put it in your mouth. You can taste it. You can smell it. And you go to work that day and some coworker comes in and says, I bought Whoppers for everybody. My treat. You've been thinking about that for 2 or 3 days. What's your chances? Well, everybody's got to cheat every now and again, right? You know, just this once. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm an ice cream fanatic. You men like ice cream? I love ice cream. Oberweis, you got to take out a loan at the bank to go there, but it's a wonderful place, man. It is a wonderful place. How'd you like that? And Brother Caleb said, how much should we let everybody spend at Oberweis? I said, $5 at minimum, $5. He said, really? Well, can't we do it for $3 or $4? I said, no. Small chocolate malts are $5. And when my class wins, I want a small chocolate malt. So they're going to get $5. I love ice cream. Dad, me, Tim, and Tom, we could devour a half a gallon every night. Cut it in 4 pieces and eat it. My dad still eats a bowl of ice cream before he goes to bed at night. I can go on a diet, do it without ice cream until it gets on my mind, I'm telling you. And you know, all those weeks I'm doing fine, and all the things she has in the house is vanilla. And then it gets on my mind, and I start thinking about ice cream. At Dairy Queen and Oberweis and ice cream. And then she comes home to the store and says, look, kids, Butterfinger ice cream. Some specialty ice cream. What are my chances? Cut it 4 pieces and pass it out. Amen. I'm ready. I want to tell you something. If you come out of a life that's without God, without Christ, without Bible, without church, without strength. Did you hear that? Without strength. And you come into a life of strength. Christ, God, Bible, eternal life, salvation. You put your mind on the old country. And Satan gets wind of it. You're going to have opportunity to go back. And if you've been thinking, you'll be weak. But if your mind has been strong, if your mind has been disciplined, if your mind has been settled on the things that accompany the new life in Christ, and the moment of temptation comes, you'll be a lot stronger. I'm talking about staying out of the old country. Staying out of the old country. I'm not patting myself on the back. You are looking at, there was 13 of us boys in that home. You are looking at the only one who didn't go back to jail or back to the old country. The only one. I give all the credit to that book right there and the God of that book. And I mean that. And I know who butters my bread, friend. Now, if you came out of a life without God, without Christ, without the Bible, without, if you came out, you're saved 18, 16, 20, 30, especially, you be careful about the old country. You be careful about your mind. You may have the opportunity to go back. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, bless us tonight. It's been a strange evening, different order of service, different schedule, but God, help us to think seriously for a moment or two about this truth. And I'll thank you for helping us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask tonight, Brother Angel, it's funny you should bring this message tonight because I've had a little trouble with my mind in the old country lately. And I sure didn't expect to hear this tonight, but the Holy Spirit knew I needed it. I want to stay out of the old country. I don't want to go back. I had a little trouble with my mind lately. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? And God bless you. And God bless you and many. Let me ask this question tonight. Who would say, "But Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I have no idea. I'm not sure that I'm a born-again child of God. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand? Just simply lift it up. Let me pray for you. Put it right back down. Anybody tonight? All right. My dear Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll help us, God. You've put us into a life with yourself, with your Son Jesus, with the Bible, with the church, with strength, with mercy, and with grace. Help us to stay out of the old country. Help us, Lord, not to become mindful of it. Protect us from it, I pray. Bless these that lifted a hand tonight, I pray, in a special way. Bless all of us in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, you're playing tonight. You lifted a hand, and would you come? Would you step out? Any hands were raised. Don't be ever embarrassed or ashamed. Bow your knee at an old-fashioned altar. Pray. Would you come while they play? While they play, that's right. Yeah, she's playing the good song. Worse than I, the world behind me, cross before me. The old country behind me, promises of God before me. Would you come? Would you come? What you been mindful of lately, huh?